I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles to the 104th Psalm. And we're going to read a passage of scripture in here that talks about the Spirit and talks about creation. And there are powerful words, I think, for us on Pentecost as we read these words together. I invite you to turn to verse 24 of Psalm 104 and read along with me. You can follow it along on the screen if you don't have your Bible open, or you can find it in your pew Bible if you want to refer to it later. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the sea, great and wide. Creeping things innumerable are there. Living things, both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan that you formed to sport in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. These are the words of God. And they are for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This wonderful psalm starts with the words, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." We sing that when we sing the song, 10,000 Reasons. And it has within it a sense of awe about it. This person who's writing the psalm is thinking about the wonder of creation and the power of God that is displayed in all of creation. And each creature has the attention of God. So much so that God can take away their creation and can renew the face of the earth. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful idea. The scholar Elizabeth Webb said this about Psalm 104. The world that God creates and recreates is such that each created thing is a note that contributes to the Spirit's song. Think for that just a minute. If those words are true, then our being created, the people that God created us to be, the person that God created me to be, and the person that God is continuously recreating me to be, is an important note in the song of the Spirit throughout the world. Too often people get this sense of being too small, of being unimportant, of being sort of the grain in the sand and the great wide beach that God has created. But God knows you. And God says, your note is critical to the work of God in the world. What a wonderful message for us to receive on this day of Pentecost. What a wonderful work for us to ponder the power of Pentecost. And that idea of being recreated is exactly what happened on the Pentecost story. The disciples, their spirits, their fortitude, their view of the world, their willingness to get their hands dirty working for the things of God, they're all recreated. Think about the circumstances for just a second that come before this story. You'll realize the power of what Pentecost and what the Spirit is able to do in a person's life. The scripture says that on the day of Pentecost, they're gathered in the upper room. That's the same upper room, presumably, that Jesus shared the Lord's Supper, the Passover meal. That same Passover meal where Judas slips off into the night to betray Jesus. That same Passover meal where Peter is willing to say to Jesus, "I will never deny you." but he goes and denies Jesus. It's the same upper room where later on that night, Jesus had said, let us go out to the garden so that I can pray. And that's where the disciples all fell asleep. It's the same upper room that we find after the story of the resurrection and the tomb, the stone rolled away at the tomb, where the disciples are gathered. How? In the upper room with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. These are people who have become fearful of the world. They have watched what has happened to the one that they sold their whole lives for. They've watched their dreams shattered. And as they have had their dreams shattered, they are gathered in the upper room out of fear. And here they are once again in that same upper room. And what have they just done? They've picked the 12th disciple. Jesus said, wait for instruction from the Spirit, and then you'll know exactly what it is that you are to do. But Peter, being Peter, says, I know better than the Spirit. I know better than the way. We've got to have a 12th disciple here. I mean, there's 12 tribes of Israel. We've got to have a 12th disciple. So who do they choose? I bet you can't name him. Matthias. You know why you can't name him? Because that's the only time he ever appears in the story. They got out ahead of the Spirit and out ahead of the work of the Spirit. They choose a disciple and he never shows up in the Bible again. So now they're gathered in the upper room. Not a great track record for things taking place in one single room, is it? But that's when the Spirit comes. The Spirit descends, and it's going to take a mighty rush of wind to change these kinds of disciples. But the Spirit descends on them as tongues of fire. And those same disciples who have been fearful, those same disciples who have let Jesus down, those same disciples who have gone through all of the rigors and all of the disappointments and have heard the instruction and have moved out ahead of the Spirit are now caught up in the Spirit. Did you notice something? The change in who they are, the change in their being, is not because of some great faith decision that they made in their life. The disciples didn't get together and say, okay, guys, we're going to get it right now. You ever watch a basketball game? I think it was Duke University that started this. Whenever there's a foul that takes place and somebody's going to shoot free throws, you'll see the whole team gather around in the free throw lane and they'll sort of put their heads together and say, okay, we got to do better on this. We got to switch better on this pick, or we've got to do this a little bit better. We don't see the disciples doing that at all. This change that takes place in their life is the work and the action of the Spirit, who moves in them, and despite all of their mistakes, despite all of their shortcomings, despite all of the things that they have gotten wrong up to this point, the Spirit moves and everything changes. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you will renew the face of the earth. That's what the Psalm says. Those disciples in the work of the Spirit are recreated beings. What was true of them is no longer true of them. They are now operating not under their own power, they're operating under Pentecostal power. I like that connection to the hymn. But it's powerful, isn't it? We think of the world around us and we get anxious about all of the changes that are taking place in the world. We get anxious about all of the things that are taking place in our families. We get anxious about what is taking place in our own bodies and in our own lives as we begin to age. And I'm beginning to find arthritis beginning to creep up in certain joints. And we begin to get anxious of all of those things. And it's under the power of the Spirit find ourselves as recreated people. And we find ourselves able to look at the world in a brand new way. Just like the disciples on that day. The last time that we had any mention of what the disciples' view of the rest of the world was, that they were scared of them. The doors were closed for fear of the Romans. Here they are gathered again, waiting to figure out what is next. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they are recreated, they see the rest of the world not as their enemies. They see the rest of the world not as something to be scared of, not as something to be fearful of. They see the rest of the world as a harvest that needs to be gathered. They look at the Romans and they look at the people that they're speaking to, and instead of seeing people that might report them and have them hung on the cross, they see them as God's children who need to hear the gospel and need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. But something else happens with the Spirit on that day. The Spirit moving in the disciples changes the way the rest of the world sees them. And so instead of these troublemakers, instead of, oh, that's the disciple of Jesus, we need to crucify them just the way that we crucified Jesus, instead, some level of curiosity is formed in their hearing, and as they begin to listen to the words that are spoken in their own language, this curiosity turns into more of an openness of spirit. And so we find that when the Holy Spirit moves, when the Holy Spirit takes action in our lives, we are is the power for us to recognize that in our lives, in our everyday routines, we are recreated people. And the enemy is now our brother and our sister. Our own struggles with ourselves take on a new light because the work of the Spirit is to renew the face of the earth. We are Pentecostal people. We're Easter people. We're people of the resurrection. But we are also people of the Spirit. Now I know that's weird for us as Baptists, right? We don't have a Trinity, we have a Binity, right? We have God the Father, we have Jesus the Son, and we sing about the Holy Spirit, but we are scared of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit might make us speak in tongues, it might make us raise up our hands, it might make us move with the music, it might make us move into the world, and we're kind of scared of that. But if we are people of Pentecost, and if we are open to the movement of the Spirit in our lives, it's not something we can create. But if we're open to the movement of the Spirit in our lives, we become those who transform and change the entire world. Because God is at work in us. So I invite you today, with your red shirts on, but even more so, with your spirits open, to allow the work of God to be realized in you. As you walk from this place, as you talk with one another, as you share fellowship with one another, work under the power of the Holy Spirit in your lives. And Let's pray. Lord, send us the Pentecostal power. Lord, in each of our lives, there are parts of it that are alive and refreshed, and there are parts of it that are just not. There are parts of us that know that missionary call to be faithful in sharing and representing the things of your kingdom in the world, but there are parts of us that are not courageous. There are parts of us within ourselves that know that your Spirit is at work in us, but there are parts of us that don't. And so we ask that on this Pentecost, in our individual lives and in the life of our church and in the life of your church universal, that we might be recreated so that the earth can be renewed. Lord, we're grateful for your presence that always sustains us, that always draws us into closer relationship with you. And we pray that as we leave this place, we would all leave as missionaries with a story to tell of your love and your grace in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.